Yeah, yeah. Man, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here with y'all today. How about let's put our hands together and give that worship team a little love this morning right there. Tearing things up. So it's good to be here. Welcome. Glad you're here. I'm glad to be back. I ain't preached in like 3 weeks over here at this sucker. I am ready to preach to y'all. You know why I'm ready to preach to y'all? Because y'all need to be preached to. Come on, somebody. I know you. You're like me. So today, man, we're glad you're here. We're starting a new series. It's always kind of hard to say goodbye to old series, but it's always exciting to say hello to a new series. So we're going to start a new series today, and we're going to call it Christian Stoicism. Everybody say Stoicism. Stoicism is this ancient philosophy that's gaining some attention and some attraction in the world. What does philosophy mean? Philosophy is just simply this. It's a system of principles to live by. And so for all my religious people and all that stuff, all my spiritual people, I'm telling you, yes, our principle system that we live by is the Word of God. But we're going to grab some things from Stoicism that you're going to see line up with the Word of God. We're going to grab four things, and we're going to talk about them over the next 4 weeks. And I guarantee you, if you will be led by the Spirit, if you will walk in the power of Jesus Christ, and you will apply these four principles of Stoicism to your life, to your marriage, to your parenting, to your life as a student, I'm telling you, it will change your life and it will bring God glory. We're going to talk about Stoicism. It simply is this. It's a philosophy designed to make us more resilient, to make us happier, to make us wiser, and to live a life of character and virtue. Now listen to me. If we start making wiser decisions, if we start being more resilient, if we tap into our inner happiness, and if we live a life of character and virtue, we will be better people in the world. We'll be better friends. We'll be better parents. We'll be better spouses. We'll be better Christians. In the theme of this Stoicism thing, I'm going to tell you about three or four people that their name is going to click in your mind. It's going to make a red light go off. You're going to go, hey, I know them. They were great and they were mighty. And several men in our history in America that studied Stoicism and lived by that. George Washington. George Washington practiced Stoicism. Thomas Jefferson. And then you can't forget the manliest president of all, Teddy Roosevelt. Come on, somebody. And in recent years, General James Bulldog Mattis, they practice Stoicism. Stoicism is this. It's simply a tool that you and I can use to learn self-mastery. How many of you know, sometimes our biggest enemy is ourself. Come on, somebody. So we can learn to master ourselves. We can learn to persevere. Stoicism is this. It's controlling yourself at every level and in every opportunity. Stoicism. Like in my family, there's one person that's a Stoic. It's Will Cochran, who plays the drums. Will, he's just stone cold, man. He's steady. He doesn't let his emotions get a hold of him. He doesn't get getting their butt kicked by 40 points. Or he could go down and dunk the ball and be winning the game. And he was just stone cold, man. He just liked that all the time. Now, the rest of us, me, Jennifer, Jesse, and Will, we liable to be way up here, and we liable to be way down here, all over the place in our emotions, all over the place in our anger. We just all over the place. But Will, he just stone cold, baby. Steady. Learning to self-master ourselves. Learning that when I am so mad at my wife, I'm just going to be even keel and keep my mouth shut. Come on, somebody. Even when I'm so mad at my husband and my husband ain't doing nothing. Even when my kids are on my last nerve, I don't shout four-letter words and tell them what idiots they are and how much they're driving me crazy. I just control myself. No matter how stupid my government is getting, no matter how crazy things are going in life, I'm just going to learn to be stone cold. I'm going to reserve myself. I am going to have something inside of me that says, you know what? I hear God calling me to a better life, and I'm going to be a better person, and I'm not going to act out, and I'm not going to give in to my anger, and I'm not going to give in to my emotions. I'm just going to live life trusting God because God is on the throne. Self-mastery. Marcus Aurelius once wrote this. If we look at our lives, if we can find something better, if we can discover something better than wisdom, something better than self-control, something better than courage, and something better than truth, if we can find something better than those things, we have indeed found an extraordinary thing. He made that statement 20 centuries ago. And since 20 centuries ago, man, we've discovered some cool stuff automobiles. How many glad you got to get in your pickup and car and drive to church today? Come on. Cell phones. We've discovered the internet. We've discovered TV. We've discovered mobile phones. We've discovered cures for diseases and sicknesses. We've discovered a lot of things over the last 20 centuries. But is there anything better than a person just living in truth? Is there anything better than a person choosing to live a life of wisdom? Is there anything better than a person living a life of doing what is right? The answer is no. At the end of the day, that's what we're here for. That's what we need in our world. Now, let me tell you right quick. Make no mistake about it. We're Jesus folk. Can I hear a good amen? And Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is what we need. Jesus is what America needs. But what I want to say to you about this philosophy of Stoicism, if someone refuses to accept Jesus, but they practice Stoicism. They practice justice. They practice wisdom. They practice integrity. And they practice will be a much better life than what we're facing right now in the America that we live in. Can I hear a good amen? If people miss Jesus, they'll miss heaven. The winning combination is for you and I to go, you know what? I'm a sinner, and I need help, and I need a Savior, and there's only one thing that can save me. I tried sex. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried money. None of that could save me, but then I tried Jesus, and His blood forgave me, and it changed me, and it made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the answer, but once we accept Jesus, the winning combination is to live a life of wisdom, to live a life of courage, to live a life of self-discipline, and to live a life of truth. Because can I be real with y'all just a minute today? There's a lot of people I know that claim to be Christians that don't make the wisest choices. Can I hear a good amen? There's a church full of America people today that say they believe in Jesus, but they have no courage to stand up against the way of culture and stand up for Scripture. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of people that I know that are Christians, but they have no self-control, and they continue to live a life of habits that bring them down and tear them out. There, we need some Stoicism in the Christian church to put some action behind what we say we believe, because how many of you know faith without works is? It's dead. So when we start talking about Jesus and Stoicism, I believe this. I think Jesus was the ultimate Stoic. He was even killed. He faced things that you and I will never face. He faced struggles. He faced trials. People turned their back on Him. People lied on Him. They mistreated Him. God the Father didn't always do it the way that Jesus thought it should be done. But at the end of the day, He was even killed stone cold. And He lived for self-discipline, courage, justice, and truth. So here's what we're going to do the next 4 weeks. We're going to dive off into this study of Stoicism, of Christian Stoicism. So today, we're going to start with courage. Everybody shout courage. Look at your neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, you need some more courage. Look at your other neighbor, say, neighbor, I need some more courage. Courage, what is courage? Courage means this. It's the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, to face danger, or to face pain. It's something inside of us that said, no matter how dangerous it gets, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how difficult it may be, I am going to face anything that comes my way. I'm going to face it. In this movie, one time, how many of you have seen that old Western, All the Pretty Horses? In the book, the guy's name is Cormac McCarthy. In the book, All the Pretty Horses, there's this scene where Emilio makes this statement to John Grady. He makes a statement that cuts to the core of life. Emilio says to John Grady, the world wants to know if you have the cojones. The world wants to know if you're brave. Can I tell you, the world needs to see some people today that have courage to stand for what they say they believe in. Can I just take a moment and tell you, man of God, that you're who goes with the ways of the world or the ways of the government or goes with the way of your personality, your family needs to see you standing with courage and cojones and say, I don't care what the education system says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what grandmama and them said. I know what the word of God says, and I'm going to lead my family according to the word of God. Can I tell you, woman of God, your husband needs you to be a woman of courage. Your children need need you to be a woman of courage. Can I tell you, students, something going to college? The college doesn't need somebody else that will blend in and buy into the ways of the world. They need somebody to stand with courage. Can I tell you, Church of the Living God, Church of Jesus Christ, this world needs to see some Christians that will stand in love, but stand in courage for what they say they believe in. Courage, 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 courage. Let me make this statement to you right now. Life is full of pain. Amen, sister. You got it. Some of us are going around looking for a life that has no pain, for a life that has no difficulties, for a life that has no hurt, and for a life that has no problem. And can I tell you, if you're looking for that kind of life, you're looking for a life, a fairy tale life, a life that does not exist, and you are believing the lie of the enemy. Life is full of pain. Life is full of fear. Life is full of unknowns. Life is full of enemies. Life is full of struggles. It's full of addictions. It's full of trials and problems and crossroads and decisions and doubt and hurt and pain. Life is full of those things. It's not a matter of if we face those things, it's when we face those things. And the main question is this: how are we going to respond to those things? We going to cry and melt like a snowflake? Come on, somebody. And take to social media and make a video about how mistreated I've been and how it shouldn't happen to me? What are we going to do? Run to the principal and tattle and tell and all the time? No, here's the deal. If we're going to live a life of Christian stoicism, we're going to have courage. And when pain and difficulty come our way, are we going to face those things? Or are we going to run away and hide? Are we going to face those things? Or are we going to stand up or lay down and allow life to run over us? So the question is this once again. Do you have the cojones to stand and face the problems and pain and trials that will come your way in life? We're going to look at four people in the Bible. Four people that exemplify courage in my mind. And because they stood with courage and lived a life with courage, here's what I want you to see. Are you listening? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Not only does the life of courage change our life, it will change everybody around you. Can I preach to y'all today? Because I want to. I feel like so in our own wild. Can I tell you, moms and dads in church? There's a younger generation, and you know what? It's time that we quit worrying about sowing our own wild seeds and doing what we want to do and living our life for us. And there comes a time that we shoulder the responsibility of passing the baton to the next generation. And the next generation is looking for someone to stand with some courage, is looking for someone to show them how to do it different. And if, you know what? If we just become weak, whiny, sensitive, needy, mealy-mouthed, little cowardly Christians, you are going to raise up some sons and daughters that are weak, mild-mannered, and they never, ever experienced the great of God because of our example. It's time that we face life with courage. We're going to talk about four people today. We're going to talk about Moses, David, Esther, and Daniel. Moses, David, Esther, and Daniel. Let's start with Moses. Moses was running. We see Moses lived a life in Egypt. We see Moses was a man who had great anger problems. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Moses was a man that could not control his temper. And one day, Moses looks and he sees someone being abused and he sees someone being mistreated, someone of his own nationality, and Moses, in rage and anger, does not practice stoicism, blows up, and he runs and he murders a man. He murders a man and kills him, and then he runs from his problems. He runs from the law. He runs from facing his responsibilities, and he runs to the backside of the desert where he works for his father-in-law tending sheep. One of the good things that you and I can learn about Moses is this. Moses was a man who did not practice stoicism, who was given to his anger and temper. But through the teachings of the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will see that he grew into a man who was the ultimate stoic. So if you're here today, I'm preaching to you today. Because some of you already sitting out there going, Cody, but I'm a bad-tempered guy. And Cody, I can't get over this temper. And Cody, my daddy was that way. And Cody, my mama was that way. And I'm always going to give into my temper. And I'm always going to be an angry person. And I'm going to tell you, you have bought the lie of the enemy, because God has given us self-discipline and control, and we can overcome our anger and temper. Moses was living on the backside of the desert, and God appears to him in a burning bush. This bush begins to burn. Moses is like, oh my God, what is going on. The bush is burning, but the bush is not being consumed. And this voice of God speaks to Moses that day. We can look at it many different ways. We can look at it like Moses going, wow, what the heck is going on? We can look at it as God calling Moses, a dysfunctional guy, to be used by him. Moses, you know, he's like, I'm tongue-tied. I can't go. Why are you using me? We can look at it as God is using these excuses, but I want us to look at it through this lens today. God says to Moses, I want you to go back and deal with your past. I want you to have courage, Moses, to go back to your dysfunctional, for the people that knew you, courage to go back to your blended family. I want you to have courage to go back to the people that knew you when you were given to anger. I want you to go back and face your past. Wow. How many of us have things in our past that we don't have the courage to deal with? And our past still defines us. And our past still affects everyone around us. God says to Moses, go back to your former life and to your failures. Let's just read the scripture. Exodus 3, 11 and 12. But Moses protested God. Wonder how many of us have ever protested God. Argued with him. But wait a minute, God. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I will be with you. Come on, somebody. Five great words that will bring courage to the weakest of the weak. Five great words that will bring courage to the mealy mouth of the mealy mouths. Five words. God said, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Moses starts out, no, I don't want to face it. No, I don't want to talk about it. But God says, I'll be with you. And all of a sudden, courage rises up in Moses. And Moses said, I will face my past, and I will do what I got to do. Because God, if you go with me, if you be for me, who shall be against me? And if you're going with me, count me in, I'm going too. And Moses went back to the failures of his life. He went back to dysfunction. And when he did, God opened the door and Moses led the Jewish people. Moses led the Israelites out of a life of slavery and bondage. And he led them towards the promised land. Not only was Moses' life changed, he was no longer hiding on the backside of the desert, smelling like sheep dung. Now he was leading God's people to freedom. Can I tell you something, y'all? Look at me. Look. I got to ask you a question. What parts of your past do you need to face and deal with? What parts of your past are holding you back from God's greatest blessings? And bigger than that, what part of your past is holding back everybody around you from God's greatest blessings? Moses took courage, and it changed his life and changed everyone around him. Let's talk about David. David had courage to face impossible situations. I wonder how many of us are facing a situation today that seems impossible. It seems like it's totally and completely impossible. Let me read you the word of God. 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 33. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. Time out. If you decide to fight something that's impossible in your life, if you decide to take courage and go, I will go fight this thing, be prepared for people around you to be haters and to talk down to you and try to speak doubt into your life. Anytime you try to do something new or do something impossible, always there will be someone around you, and oftentimes it's our family, and oftentimes it's our parents, and oftentimes it's people that are well-meaning, but they'll say, you can't do that, just settle down. No. Listen, God, with man, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Can somebody shout a good amen? Amen. David said, I'll go fight that Philistine. Saul said, you can't do it. You're only a boy. You can't win. And this guy's been a man of war since youth. The Lord, David said this, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. David had courage. Do you see this picture? The whole Jewish army, the whole Israelite army, they're in the foxhole. They're cowering down to them, and he's been talking trash to them, and they allowed fear to overcome them. And finally, one young little boy shows up and said, you know what? I got courage. I know who my God is. I may have been a nobody, but I was back home taking care of the sheep. And when a lion came to attack the sheep, I stood up and I fought that lion, and God protected me from the lion. And if a bear came out, I got a club and I clubbed that bear back, and God protected me from the lion and the bear. And he said, if my God did all of that, my God will deliver me and bring me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine. David took courage because he knew what God was capable of. Do you know what God is capable of? Has God done any impossible thing in your life? Has God brought you through any kind of situation? Let me tell you and make a declaration to you today that my God is still on the throne. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His right hand is not shortened. God is still God, and God can still do the impossible in my life and in your life. That would be a good time for you to put your hands together and give the Lord some praise right there. That day, David walked out on the battlefield, took out a slingshot, a little bitty young boy, throwed a slingshot, hit the giant in the head, killed him, went over there and jerked up his sword, whacked Goliath's head off. Here's what else I love. David killed the giant. Guess what happened to the Israelite army? Courage. When they saw one person do the impossible, that entire army that had been frozen and paralyzed in silence jumped up out of the foxholes, ran across that battlefield, stood by David, and the Israelites gained complete victory over the entire Philistines that day. Look at me. I got a question for you. What battles do you need to fight that may seem impossible? What battles do you need to fight that may seem impossible? Because God will help you overcome them, and it'll help everybody around you overcome them as well. Let's move on to Esther. Esther, she had courage to take a big risk. Can I tell y'all something? Let me hear a good amen. For those of you that came to Jesus Christ looking for a life where you could sit safely, quietly, peacefully, and comfortably, you bought the lie of the enemy. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you now become a soldier in the army of Almighty God. That is when we have to fight. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. We are not going to be comfortable. We must live a life of risk. Risking it all for the glory of God. That is what is wrong. That is what is wrong with the American church. We have become way too weak and way too worried about being comfortable in our faith rather than risking it all for the glory of God. As I read the Bible, I see none of the guys and none of the girls and none of the heroes of the Bible. None of them lived a life of ease. It was all a risk. Esther was willing to take a risk. Esther 4:16. She said, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same thing. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. Esther, she's a Jewish lady, and the Jews are being mistreated. There is actually a decree from the king that says, go and annihilate and kill all of the Jewish people. Old and young alike, women and children, kill them all. But Esther says, no, you know what? That's my family. That's my lineage. That's my genealogy. My great-great-grandparents were Jews. What do you mean they're going to kill the Jewish people? Everyone is sitting around doing absolutely nothing. And Esther says, no, wait a minute. Hold up. I need me some girlfriends. Can I tell you something, girls? You need you some girlfriends. Come on, somebody. You need you some girlfriends. Guys, you need some dudes that are friends with you. You need some dudes that'll pray with you. Esther had a big issue to face, and she was about to risk it all, and she went and got her girlfriend and said, girls, I need y'all to fast with me. You know, I don't need you to show up with me at church and talk about the Lord, get a good cup of coffee, buy some cool swag from Bethel over there. I need you to fast for me throughout the week. I need you to push them groceries away. I need you to go to the prayer room and go and pray. Dudes, I know you're tough, but you need some men that will growl just a little bit some men that'll push them groceries away, some men that'll pray for you. If you're going to live a life of risk, you got to have some folk in your corner. Come on, somebody. Esther said, come on, girls, I'm finna do something. It may be against the law. But she said, I'm going before the king. In these days, it was against the law to go and approach the king. You couldn't do that. It was against the law. You'd be murdered. You'd have your head cut off. But Esther said, you know what, girls and guys, girls, y'all fast. Y'all pray. I may be taking a risk, but I'm going before the king. And if it's against the law, so be it. If I die, I die, but I'm going to do this for my people. And she stepped out, and she approached the king, and she approached the king, and she said, king, don't do that to the Jewish people. And because she was willing to take a risk and have courage, God protected her, and God saved the entire nation of the Jewish people. Look at me. Look. What risks do you need to take? How much do you need to quit playing it safe? What is God calling you and I to do that could change everyone around of us? The last thing we'll talk about today is Daniel. Daniel had courage not to give in. He had courage to stand true to his convictions. Watch this. Daniel 6:10. There was a decree in the nation said no more praying to the God of heaven. You can't pray anymore. The government said for years and years, listen to me, for years and years and years, you think we're facing some new situations in America. You think things are worse than they've ever been. Can I tell you, there ain't nothing new under the sun is what the Bible says. And governments have been trying to control people, and governments have been trying to kick God out of their nations for years and years and years. And can I tell you what's going to keep God in America? It's not the voting booth, and it's not this party or that party. It's when Christians start saying, I am not giving in to the ways of the world. I'm not giving in to culture. I'm not giving in to the education system. I am standing on the word of Almighty God. And if it's against the law, I'm going to continue to live according to the Holy Bible. That's what will change our world. They said, Daniel, you can't pray to your God no more. You can't pray. You can't pray. God, I wish somebody would have stood up with some courage in the United States of America when they came to our education system and took prayer out of our schools. I wish somebody would have had the courage to stand up and fight and say, throw me in jail, call me a religious nut. I don't care. I wish there was some folk that had courage to stand and fight. Oh, when they tried to take 10 commandments out of our government. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You see a parallel? Daniel 6:10, they said, you can't pray. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With the windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Daniel said, you're not going to stop me from praying to my God. I've been trusting this God. This God has saved me. This God has delivered me. This God has answered my prayer. And I don't care what you say, government. I don't care what you say, education system. I don't care what you say, LGBTQ plus community. I don't care what you say, Hollywood culture. This is my God, and I'm going to continue to pray to my God, because my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Daniel kept on praying. Oh, can I preach to y'all? And he could have, how many of you know, David could have went to the closet and he could have hid in the closet and said, I'm going to pray back here, but I'm not going to do it openly because I don't want somebody to hate me on social media and I don't want somebody to call me a religious nut. He could have went and hid in the closet and prayed, but he said, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed that I'm a born again believer. And he said, if I'm going to pray to God, I'm going to do it in public, whether it offends anybody else or not. Yeah, I figured y'all get quiet on that one. They said, Daniel, you broke the law. We're fixing to throw you in the den of the lions. Capital punishment. Electric chair. Lethal injection. You're done. You're dead, Daniel. You're dead because you won't give in to our stuff. They took Daniel and threw him into the den. God is our protector. And the next morning, the king went down there and he opened the door and he saw that Daniel was alive and untouched. And you know what? Revival hit the king's heart, and the king sent out a decree. Anybody can pray to God of Daniel from now on, because this God is a God of power. What do you need to resist giving into? What's the world trying to sway you into? Being politically correct? Being silent about your faith? The world trying to pull us into culture? Because the world, trying to lower our standards to fit in because the world is so good at going, you know what? If you stand with courage on your convictions and you won't give in to us, you're full of hate. You have no love in you. You're not practicing inclusivity. The world has a way of making us feel bad to get us to lower our standards and to give in. I'll just say this to you students. I'll say this to some of you adults. Is the Lord trying to get you not to give in to what the government says? I love our nation and I love our government, but our government is misleading its people in some places right now. Our government is misleading us in some health issues. Our government is misleading us in some gender issues. Our government is misleading us in some foreign affairs issues. Our government is misleading us in a lot of things right now. And I'm telling you, you can't give in to the ways of the world. We got to make sure everything lines up with the Word of God. Can I talk to you college students for a minute? Can I talk to you single people a minute? The world is trying to say, oh, just go ahead and have sex. Oh, just go ahead and spend the night. Oh, just go ahead and move in. It's okay. It's all that. Can I tell you, that is not what the Word of God says. And if you want the blessing of God on your marriage and you want the blessing of God on your life, you must choose not to give in. You must choose to resist what is popular and stand on the Word of Almighty God. God didn't send his son Jesus. Look at me. Look, and I'm almost done. God did not send his son Jesus Christ to hang on a cross, to shed the blood, and to die so that you and I could be cool, comfortable, or popular. He did that so that we could be different, so that we could be set apart, so that we could be lights, like we could be lights like a city set on a hill, so that we could bring glory to his name. What do you need to resist giving into? Conrad, worship team, come help me close this, please. Christian stoicism, self-mastery, perseverance, and wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Four pillars, four things: courage, discipline, justice, wisdom. Come back next week, we're going to talk about self-discipline. It is a game. Yeah, y'all like it. I told me the deuces right then. I never should have told you, right? Our world wants no self-discipline. We want to have our cake and eat it too. I'm going to prove to you through the Word of God, self-discipline is the key that can help you to overcome in life. But let's start today. Let's look at me. Do you have the cojones? Are you brave? You got courage? Do something different? Face your past. Come on, y'all, I know your past sucks. Mine does too. Can I hear an amen? But sometimes we need to deal with some stuff. Deal with some issues from the past so that we can overcome them. Courage to do the impossible. Courage to take risks. Who wants to live a little life that's just safe? Come on, y'all. You ever took a risk? You ever took that big shot? You ever throwed that loop you couldn't catch and you hooked it on them? You ever took that risk? I mean, I asked Jennifer to marry me. It was a risk, y'all. And she said, yes, praise God. It's a risk. And when you take a risk and you're flying and you're giving it and you're going on your God and you're going balls to the wall and the risk comes to pass and the impossible is done in your life, woo! Something down inside of us, that's what God created us to do. Not just be safe. Never take a risk. Courage, y'all. Courage to not give in. I'm done. Jennifer says, I hate it when you end abruptly like that. But I'm done. Here's what I say in closing, and then I pray and we'll sing a song of worship. We sang a song earlier a while ago. I hear him calling. I hear him calling. God is calling you and I to live a life of courage, to trust him. Do you hear God calling you today? Do you hear him calling you into courage? Take courage. Step into the power of Christ. He will never call you to do something that he won't empower you to overcome. It's not your power, it's his power. Father, I thank you for today. Open our ears to hear you calling. Lord, call our name, men and women, students, young people. Call our names, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives. Call our names, those that are far from God. Speak to us. You know us. You know the number of hairs on our head. Speak to us personally today, God. Speak to us. Call us to take courage and step into your power. And your power would bring the ultimate victory to our lives. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all. Stand.